Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, Bedford County Speaks introduces community leaders, interesting topics, and people making a difference in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is presented exclusively by News Talk 1310 WBFD. Now, here's your host, Lloyd Broach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years, and by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I'll return shortly with today's guest, Art Halverson, who is running for Congress of the United States when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Jennifer Ford, Executive Director of the Fort Bedford Museum, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
At Homewood at Springhouse Estates, every day is Independence Day. Executive Director Mary Grattan says assisted living is on the way.
Where you come in, there'll be nursing that will be there. They'll help you with medication, dressing, bathing. There'll be a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Our main restaurant, the cafe, will be open for evening meals as well.
Call Homewood at Springhouse Estates today and see what's new at 623-0349. That's Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day.
This is Brooks Shoemaker of Bedford Rural Electric Cooperative. Let's head back to Bedford County Speaks right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Well, we are pleased to welcome Art back. He's the only one I talked to who's actually a real neighbor. He's still the man's choice, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so it's great to have you. We're ensconced again in this nice little place on Richard Street, Hebrews Coffee Shop. They're very kind and very gracious to let us
wonderful place
make this a portable studio for our purposes here today. You know, it's funny, Art. I like this. This is the best recording suite for us. We've done almost 200 of these shows.
Wow,
and these
programs,
they sound better in this room. But now, I'm not sure why. It's a hard floor and all that. But
well, you got acoustic tiles.
Yeah, so
there.
It's a nice place for the recording. So I always like to come here. So thanks for suggesting it. I was very eager to talk with you because not only have you been with me several times, I believe this is our third time up for this show, but you've kind of been through a lot of change, to say the least.
That's right.
When I first met you,
well,
you were
to think I'm the reason for the change.
You were here when it was the old Ninth District, which I believe has gone off to Reading or someplace now, and we're now the new, brand new, shiny 13th District, which seems to be wider and fatter and a little more, as you pointed out, to the east. I am particularly interested in the fact that last time we talked, we had discussions about Bill Schuster. So Bill Schuster is no longer part of the discussion. So how does that change the campaign for you?
It changes it a lot, of course. The reason I was running is because we had an incumbent, career politician incumbent, who had to be defeated. And we did that. Even though he won the last primary in 2016 by less than one vote per precinct, we scared him enough that he saw the poll numbers, our poll numbers, his poll numbers. So he couldn't win if he ran against me again. So not to boast or brag, just to say that strategy is if you want to defeat an incumbent career politician, you just keep going after him. You take little bites, and pretty soon you cut his legs off.
So are you taking credit for his departure?
I'm taking partial credit. I certainly, if I hadn't run against him and wasn't running against him this time before he decided to quit, then he'd still be the congressman.
Well, there's a lot going on in the GOP in Pennsylvania right now.
There is.
In my native Delaware County, they've had a burn and crash. They lost two county commissioners for the first time in 116 years.
Yep.
Chester County's congressman has decided to bail out. And
What we're seeing here is a purge of the party. We have been taken over, and that's the reason I started, when I realized my own party had betrayed us and was not pursuing conservative principles, was not defending the rights of the people. It had become an insular club of establishment career politicians. So Bill Schuster was the one I could go after. John Boehner ultimately was the prize. He had to go as well. Our leadership, quote unquote, the people that we had elected had gone bad on us. So we needed to replace the bench.
So you consider Ryan Costello and Pat Mean as part of that bunch?
Well, I don't know them personally and enough about them, but I know that we have a lot of bad apples in the Republican Party, and I want to get them out.
Well, I mean, I was struck with this preparing for this program the other day. I was struck with this because Meehan's in Delaware County. He's gone. Chester County is losing Ryan Costello, a young man who only ran for one term. He's gone. Mm-hmm. Montgomery County lost there several years ago. Bucks County is gone. Luzerne County and Lackawanna are already Democrat. And then, of course, we had that loss of the Republican in the western part of the state.
Right, Tim Murphy.
So,
And then what's going on here? I think what we're seeing is a reshuffling of the deck. We're replacing the bench. We're putting new people in place, and that's a good thing. The Republican Party needed to be reformed, and the way you reform it to start with is change the people. So we're changing out Bill Schuster for a new Republican, and I trust it won't be a career politician that we put in and repeat the same mistake, but we put somebody in new. And I am offering myself as somebody new who would come in and reform Congress. I've got a record that I stand on and am proud of to the extent that it shows what one person can do when they set their mind to it. I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, and I'm a Republican. And I hold those positions dearly and will defend them and will fight for the people, not for the party or for the establishment, which is what the party has become in Washington. So I want to make the Republican Party stronger again because we need to fight the Democrats who have an entirely different worldview, They must be defeated. And in order to do that, we need to strengthen our party.
So you didn't think your brief foray as a Democrat?
I wasn't a Democrat. I was never a Democrat.
But
I was always a Republican.
Democrat.
I ran on the ticket that was given to me by conservative Democrats, which, you know, 18%, approximately 18% of the old 9th district were actually Republicans who were registered as Democrats, either because they wanted a union job, they wanted to work for the Turnpike, the transportation, PennDOT, or for other reasons, maybe because their father was Democrat, but they were conservative Republicans. Those are the people that wrote me in.
Our guest is Art Halverson, and Art, as you can hear, is rather enthusiastic about his run for Congress.
I am. We're gonna save our country, and this is how we're gonna do it.
So, in the current field, which might be the largest ever around here, I would guess, we have 8 Republicans, including yourself.
That's a wonderful thing. It shows that those people who say, well, if you don't reelect me, these incumbents, career politicians, if you don't reelect me, what will we get? You've got to keep me here or we're going to get something worse. Well, that's flat out not true. And we've demonstrated that. We are replacing a rhino career politician, Bill Schuster, and we've got 8 people to choose from. I would say all of are a better ilk than what we had.
So let's go through them. We have Mr. Washball, we have Mr. Shuley, Mr. Bloom, Mr. Mastriani, Dr. Joyce, and of course Mr. Eichelberger.
Right.
The only two of those are people that are in the business of the government at the moment is Eichelberger and of course State Representative Bloom.
Right.
So do you feel they're career politicians as well?
I do.
So both of them are kind of part of the system?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe they're good men, but I believe they're part of the system. We need a fresh look. I'm offering myself because while I have experience in Washington, reorganizing an entire military service, rewriting the maritime security plans of the United States after 9/11, standing up an entirely new department, the Department of Homeland Security, writing the strategic plan for that new department, lots of military experience at the senior levels in Washington policy making. And my business career, my family, and we could talk about that and what I think that shows of me with respect to 6 children and 13 grandchildren and raising combat veterans and entrepreneurs and successful people in society, all college graduated. Lots of things that I could point to show my experience and my qualification that I believe rises above anyone else that's in the field.
I also was struck this time, but last time we had the only veteran was you, and now we have 3. We have yourself, Mr. Shuley, and former Colonel Mastriani. So,
well, there's a fellow named Hornberger as well. He's too young, but he's actually on the ballot. Yeah.
So we have so Mastriani is a retired Army colonel of similar qualifications as you. You spent a long time in the Coast Guard, as we know. And Colonel Mastriano, of course, spent a lot of time overseas in the Army, heavily decorated for that as well. So do you see people like this as are good competitors to you?
Well, I think I take everybody in the field seriously, but I don't think that anyone has the experience that I have that matches up to the what is required to serve in Congress with respect to my senior military officer experience in Washington, doing things at the highest levels of the government, my operational career and the success that I had there, the success I've had in business as an entrepreneur, starting from scratch and building a very successful business, a very large family, my Christian leadership in Christian circles, leading an 18,000-member Officers Christian Fellowship, which Mr. Mastriano, by the way, is a member. I was the president of that organization for 3 years while on active duty, and I could go on and on. But my point here is simply that the people have a choice. They have eight people to look at. They have a chance to pick somebody to serve. In my case, I believe I'm the only declared term-limited citizen legislator. I'm not a career politician. I'm not going up there to serve more than 6 years, three terms. I can get the job done because that's how long I worked in Washington. I got the job done
Why
in
three?
3 years. Because I think that's it. Because I think after that, you start to fall into the lethargic swamp. Yeah. You begin to get enthralled with the parties and you slow down. We need somebody who's going to work for six hard years, and I know I can do that because I've already done that.
Well, I was talking to some of your colleagues. I told them I invented a new word all by myself right here in Bedford County.
Okay.
And the new word is called Congressitis. And I think a lot of people who go up to Congress get this disease in a very, very bad way.
It is a disease.
So what are your chances of not catching this?
Well, I think they're very high because I was up there already and served in that environment and escaped unscathed.
I mean, everybody's calling
successful.
You yes, sir, no, sir. They're holding doors for you.
Sure.
The lobbyists are attacking you in the hallways.
As I say, I did that for 6 years in Washington as a senior military officer. And
you don't think a congressman's going to be different?
No. Yeah. Not. Look, the character of the man, it doesn't change. That's what we're choosing here is the character of the man. There are no women in this race, so I'll say men. And so I think you have to look at that, and you look at the record. You look at what I have been able to do with respect to my operational career in the Coast Guard, 150 miles offshore, dark and stormy nights, rescuing people, starting a business from scratch, as I said, and working now with 100 commercial businesses that rent spaces for me, and of people of all races, over many different states. You look at my family and the profile that with producing combat veterans, people who currently right now are fighting terrorism overseas, and themselves,
sons, daughters,
sons and daughters, both, and children who have started their own business very successfully. Mm-hmm. My wife, who worked in the White House as a volunteer for Mrs. Bush, who's a conference speaker, who donated her kidney. So there's, I think there's some things to look at with respect to what we have to offer that set us apart from the rest of the field.
Our guest is Art Halverson, who is running for Congress here in the brand new 13th District. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that 13th District and how it may have changed things for him as well as the others when Bedford County Speaks continues.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. We hope you're enjoying this week's Bedford County Speaks. We're pleased to sponsor this community effort every week. Sometimes people ask us how we do business. Well, it's simple. When a family firm like us has been around for over 100 years, you learn a lot. For example, we know you don't care for haggling, so instead, we discount our vehicles up front to remove all the guessing. We also pay our sales consultants on volume rather than on the price of the car or truck. That way, everyone works to get you the vehicle you want instead of the one we may want to sell you. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru offers transparent financing with protection options to fit your budget. In addition, when you buy a car or truck from us, you get free state inspections for life, free car washes for life, and great warranties, which remove all the worry. And we'll even buy your trade for cash. So stop by our showroom today and check out our beautiful supply of Chevrolet cars, tough Chevy trucks, and those fabulous worry-free Subarus. That's the Thomas Promise. To learn more, visit us on Route 220 or thomaschevrolet.com.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Well, we've got a little plug here for Hebrews. You got to come here. The coffee is very good. It's nice and quiet. It's one of the reasons I like to do the radio show in here.
It's very quiet, and the coffee is $2
and
fact, 1 cent.
I felt badly because a couple of times I was here ago with a radio show, I was in here talking to someone, and people kind of very quietly, you know, walk in because it's always doing the radio show. And I said, no, make noise. We need the ambiance. We wanted to know they were in Hebrews. So Hebrews is right at the intersection of Pitt and Richard Streets, and they're very cordial, very nice. You were talking about how you're a Christian. It's a Christian outfit. This store. That's really great.
That's right.
The 13th district is different in the sense that it is fatter and wider, and it has reached into the eastern part of Pennsylvania, but it now includes Altoona, does it not?
It includes Johnstown. Altoona used to be part of it. It was all Blair County. You know, in that last election, I won Franklin County, I won Blair County, I won Fulton County, I won Bedford County, I won Indiana County in a landslide. Mm-hmm. But I still lost the election by less than one vote per precinct.
What was the counties that killed you then?
Fayette County.
Fayette, really?
Fayette, Green, and Washington County.
Are they still part of the
Mon Valley? No, they're not. Okay. They're not part of it. And I'm glad in the sense that the lines favor me, these new lines. This is, I believe, more red, more conservative than it was before. And the ninth was one of the most conservative in the Northeast.
So it's kind of funny, as a result of all the hoopla about the seventh, and Mickey Mouse kicking the dog or whatever that thing was. I used to live in the seventh, so I'm very familiar with the seventh. And it was true. They deserved that. That was terrible what they did to that district, because it went around rivers and up creeks and through the middle of houses and things like that. So we have this new kind of better looking district. So as a result of a largely Democratic effort, you perhaps have benefited.
I think so. Yeah. But of course, that may mean that others didn't. And so I just haven't studied. I'm concentrating on the new 13th, of course.
Okay, so let's pretend for a minute that you are successful in this bid and you march into the United States Congress as Congressman or Halverson.
Yes.
President Trump says to you, are you on my team? What are you going to tell him?
It depends on what you're proposing. I agree with about 95% of what Trump is doing. For example, the current news, Syria, I believe we need to create a no-fly zone. We need to come in hard with our allies and make it very clear, unlike President Obama, who drew a red line that was...
This is helpful. Why don't you give us a tutorial of what that means? You know, we hear that in the media all the time, no-fly zone.
Okay.
Who's not flying and where are they not flying?
Well, as a pilot, it means that we declare our allies, and we unilaterally say that any aircraft of the Syrian Air Force that takes off will be shot down. And we will allow certain cases where there needs to be transports, and we will be involved in that. But if you fly and we don't know about it, we're going to shoot you down. And we have far more capability, capability to do that.
We're going to assert that military power over that region of the world. In response to what they recently did.
We need a
did.
Disproportionate response, over-the-top response to this. This cannot be tolerated. Assad is an animal. I agree with Trump on his calling him. He's an animal to gas his own people. That's what Saddam Hussein did to the Kurds.
Right.
It is inhumane. It's a war crime. And short of taking Assad out completely for doing this, because that's not our job, punishing him.
Okay, so I mentioned you're now congressman, for the sake of the conversation, Congressman Halverson.
Yes.
And you want to do things like this. What are you going to do as an individual congressman from the 13th district that would persuade the rest of the Congress to go along with this agenda?
Well, I'm going to remind the Congress, who mostly have forgotten that they have a responsibility to declare war by the Constitution of the United States. It's Congress's job. They have abdicated that responsibility along with so many others with respect to their duties and responsibilities. So I, as a leader, would step up and declare that the Congress needs to step up on this issue and make it clear to the world. Don't just leave it on the commander-in-chief's shoulders, because he's supposed to respond to what the Congress sets as an agenda. And we need to declare very clearly that this is unacceptable. It must be curtailed and punished disproportionately.
So that's the one big foreign policy issue that's happening right this minute as we speak, obviously.
Yeah. Well, there's North Korea, China.
Do you like what he's doing in North Korea?
I do. We're bringing that young man around. We needed to use China to do that because it's in China's best interest. It's actually in Russia's best interest for him not to have nuclear weapons that he could deploy.
Do you see us re-engaging with Taiwan?
Well, we're, of course, engaged with Taiwan. We need to defend Taiwan against mainland China's attempts, because that's clearly in their sights. It's a target for them. They want to eventually take over.
I guess
Taiwan.
I'm driving at, as a former member of the Seventh Fleet, these regions over there, the South China Sea, the East China Sea, where all these places are, have really lost our
our grip over there.
We have. See, we haven't been able to articulate a foreign policy for a long time. The foreign policy has to be based on our own self-interest. We need to protect America's interests. And one of those is sea lane, keeping sea lanes open, lines of communication, and protecting our allies, sending the signal to our allies that we're going to support them. There are trading partners. We need them as much as they need us. And so we need to protect them and make it very clear America is still strong. We're not weak. That's what this trade tariff represents, is America is still strong.
You like this?
I do. I think I'm the only one that does.
That's a lot of people aren't liking this.
Let's talk about it. I love it.
Let's talk about it. You have a tariff going on here.
That's right.
That the Wall Street is jumping over, off of buildings about because
they'll settle down. It's not a trade war. This is a jockeying for position. This is Mr. Trump telling the world that America is coming back. We've been backing down to China, to any little tin pot dictator in the world like Kim Jong-un. We've been backing down to them. We've been, like Clinton gave them nuclear reactors. Well, those are now on the tips of rockets that are threatening our allies. So you can't back down. The tariff is simply a non-military means by which we signal to the Chinese that we're not going to take it anymore. You can't steal our intellectual property anymore. You're going to have to abide by what you said you're going to do, or we're going to hold you accountable. This is speaking loudly and carrying a big stick.
I read a very interesting commentary written by a man who gave a speech at Hillsdale College.
Uh-huh.
And he said that China is not likely going to push this back very hard because you said they need us too much.
That's exactly right.
And it's hard for us sometimes to imagine that. I mean, we go to Walmart, Art, mm-hmm. and everything in the freaking store is made in China.
Right.
So how does that make them need us?
I mean, because they have a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, and that means that they need to grow their economy. And in order to do that, we're the largest market in the world. We're the ones that are vested and invested with them. They need to keep us. And what Mr. Trump is saying, we're going to have fair trade. This so-called free trade that we've been operating under is not free at all. You guys are cheating. You guys are taking advantage of us. No more. We're going to draw a line, and the line is, we're going to use tariffs to bring you under control. So they're talking tough, but they're going to back down for sure.
You believe the same thing about NAFTA and Mexico and all of that?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the same idea. Look, nobody likes a weak giant. I mean, they're going to knock them down. We need to be a strong giant, and I agree with Mr. Trump on those things.
Now, I'm going to give you something to have nightmares about.
Okay.
You were talking about all of these rhino incumbents that are losing their jobs in Congress for voluntarily, involuntarily. Ryan Costello pretty much got out and said, I'm not doing it because I'm not going to win this time around. He came to that realization.
Yeah.
Let's say this takes a little steamroll here, and all of a sudden we've got Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House. As Speaker of the House, and now you are in the minority as a conservative Republican. How on earth are you?
That's your premise. I don't accept your premise, of course. But
I'm
saying it's a present premise, and it's speculative. So we can go there if you want to, but I don't think it's going to happen. Look, even if
what's going to keep it from happening if all these other people are leaving?
And so the Republican Party is experiencing some of that now. The loss by Saccone. We need obviously to reinvigorate the Trump voters to get Republicans out to vote, but we haven't given them anything to vote for. Look at that 18th race. Tim Murphy, he betrayed our party, right? He's called a pro-life guy, and then he tells his girlfriend to have an abortion. We have a bunch of liars in our party that have to be, we need to purge some of that stuff. And I use purge in quotes here. You understand. Schuster and Murphy, who are hypocrites. They don't stand on they talk about the principles, and they talk like a conservative, but then they go up there and they spend more money than the Democrats did. They gave Obama more than he asked for. They just do all the wrong things because they're career politicians. They're not looking out for the people, and they're not looking out for the party. I want to strengthen the party, and that means we need to go through a little pain.
Being a congressman, of course, means that you do a lot more besides declaring war and foreign policy. There's just a little mundane things that happen every day, and I've noticed that there's a little obscure bill floating around Congress right this minute called H.R. 3348. And don't worry, I won't let you know what it is because I didn't either. It's about self-driving trucks, and it struck me because this part of Pennsylvania has a lot of trucks.
Yeah, I oppose that.
Now, wait. So this is about putting a self-driving, like Uber kind of tractor trailer out on the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Well,
with
that's
nobody
not Uber.
It.
Uber has a driver.
Yeah, well, they have a trouble with it. Yeah. But I'm talking about this, and this, of course, would save money, but it would decimate the trucking industry.
Sure, so, it's nonsense.
As an employee, anyway.
Yeah.
So you think it's nonsense? You don't think it's going anywhere?
I don't. Well, I would fight it. I think that's a safety hazard, and I think it has to be stopped. Mr. Schuster embraced that. He thought it was a great idea. I think that's crazy to do that, and I don't support it at all.
So do you feel that because Mr. Schuster is leaving as the chairman of the Transportation Committee, that you will no longer have any power, being that you're not on any kind of a committee?
I'll have lots of power. I have lots of power. I have the same power that any other member has with respect to a vote, because they're all equal. With respect to persuasion and leadership, I think I tower far and above most of those guys who are largely empty suits and windbags and aren't willing to do anything. They need to be moved out and replaced with somebody who wants to go up there and get something done. I can form teams. I can form a consensus. I will join with the Freedom Caucus, or I will start my own caucus, a Common Sense Caucus, that would reform Congress, eliminate the pensions. Why are we incentivizing these guys to stay up there forever? We need term limits. I'm self-imposed term limits. We need to be talking about that. We need to be talking about fiscal discipline. We need to be not passing budgets that are raising the deficit. About 25% of what they're spending, they're borrowing. I mean, it's unconscious. It's a moral obligation to fix these things and reform Congress from it, save Congress from itself. They're destroying themselves. They're eating themselves up. And that's why these guys are leaving, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Swinging back to a couple of local issues having to do with trucks, I went to a little meeting a few months ago where Congressman Schuster got up and spoke to the people in Breezewood, the idea of moving the interchange. A Breezewood, from where it is now down to where it would intersect with Route 70 and the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and thus obviating the need to drive through the village of Breezewood to get in between those two roads. Schuster said while he was congressman, they wouldn't let that happen. Well, now he's not going to be congressman, so what do you think could happen?
I call it Dysfunction Junction. It's a symbol of the Schuster dynasty. It was bad idea. We actually are turning traffic away now with 68. People aren't going to come through six light cycles to come through Bedford County. It's hurting Bedford County because we're diverting traffic. Yes, it needs to be redesigned. It can be done so that, frankly, the businesses are dying now because so many people are turned away. It has to be addressed quickly.
We have the same situation over in Carlisle where Route 81 comes
11.
Together with a turnpike and Route 11, and you have to drive through that and 14 traffic lights or whatever to get from one to the other.
Trying to manipulate the traffic for some economic interest is going to backfire because you can't do that. People are smarter than that. They know when they're being used and manipulated, and they'll avoid it. So we have smart traffic engineers who can redesign those interchanges to look, the purpose of transportation, the engineers and road building is to facilitate the flow of traffic. People will decide where they're going to buy gas based on the competitive nature of the industry, where they're going to eat based on where they are on their trip. Those things are all self-correcting, and we need to design our roadways not to try to, as I say, manipulate people to stop here by putting a stoplight on an interstate. That's nonsense.
All right, we have about a minute left, and I promised everyone that I'm going to give you 30 seconds to give me your elevator speech and why we should make you the congressman.
Our culture is in disarray. We're in a civil war. We have a cultural revolution. The language can't be strong enough for what we're facing as a country. We have a left, a Democratic Party and the left, that is trying to fundamentally transform our country. We need a Christian, outspoken man of character to represent us, to work in our communities, to build our communities. There's no more money in Washington to come down and trickle down into communities. We need to build from the bottom up, not the top down, and we need to get Washington out of our hair and out of our back pocketbooks, bring people together at the community level and fix our problems and deal with our problems here on a community basis.
Art Halverson, thank you very much. Best of luck to you. Wish you well. Wish all of you well.
Thank you, Lloyd.
Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. And by Homewood at Springhouse Estates, where every day is Independence Day. I look forward to joining you next time, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
Thanks for listening to Bedford County Speaks. This program is heard every Saturday at this time over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
If you would like to hear this program again, visit BedfordCountySpeaks.com and click Listen Here. Bedford County Speaks is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310. If you or your organization would like to appear on the show, visit our website, BedfordCountySpeaks.com, for contact information. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.